I thank our brother once again for opening us in prayer. I wanted to, the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, look at the subject of faith. Subject of faith. Our brother mentioned it in his prayer, opening the meeting to faithfully proclaim the Word of God. I wanted to stick to one portion of God's Word largely, Hebrews chapter 11. So if you turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 11, we can read what the writer to the Hebrews says about faith. It is an interesting subject of faith. People would have various things to say about it. I've heard people say that if we have enough faith, we can get certain things done. You may be delivered out of a bad job and into a new job. You may be able to, if you have enough faith, be able to work your way through some problem, or God would deliver you out of some problem. Interesting things, ideas people have in their head about faith. But we're going to read what the Word of God says about faith, at least in this portion in Hebrews chapter 11. So we want to try to understand, get a better understanding of what faith is. Right in verse 1, I'm going to read through. I may have a few comments. I will have a few comments on the way through. We're not going to get through the entire chapter, but we'll get through a portion of it, a good portion. Now, faith, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Very confusing. But if we think about this for a moment, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Faith doesn't have substance. And the things hoped for don't have substance. Faith does not occupy space. Doesn't have length, width, or height. Doesn't weigh anything. There's no mass to faith. There's no substance to faith in our minds. But here, in verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're going to read about things hoped for. And in this opening verse, it says, faith is the substance of those things hoped for. Faith takes on manifestation in this way, that it would cause us to behave differently. And that way, faith takes on substance. It causes us to do things differently than we may have done in the past. Because of things we hope for, we behave ourselves much differently than if we didn't know about things we hope for. We're going to read about things we hope for. And we'll see in this chapter various people that hoped for things. And faith took on substance in their lives by redirecting their behavior. So should it be with us. Faith should take substance in our life, should make us behave much differently. This is what faith does. This is how it has substance. It's a substance of things hoped for. The evidence, when people look at us, they should say, I know what you're hoping for. You're hoping for the return of the Lord. I've heard that. The unsaved look. And they see our behavior. And they say, huh, if there ever could be evidence for what you believe, it's the way you live. It should be the evidence of what we hope for, our behavior, and how we live. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. What does that mean? Pay attention to that verse, or that phrase, obtained a good report. And turn to the end of chapter 11. We're going to find out who the elders are. It'll tell us plainly who the elders are in verse 39. All these, after going through a long list of names, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rebecca, Sarah, all these names, and he says, all these, he says, and these all, having obtained a good report. Those are who the elders are, the ones we will read through in this chapter. Noah, Enoch, Abel, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac. Those are the elders they're talking about in verse 2. The first instance of faith we find is not directed at a person directly. It's directed at the creation account. More a general looking at faith, we'll see that the pattern of this chapter in verse 3, it says, through faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 6, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. So we see the pattern being set up in the chapter. And then they'll have a little story about each person. We'll learn a little bit about what faith is, each person, and what it looks like. So we see very plainly, or at least try to, or at least start to get an understanding of what faith is. Again, in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Again, can be confusing, but let's look at a few things, a few words here that stick out at us. It says, through faith we understand, this is through faith, we understand that the worlds, it's plural, more than one, it's not singular. This earth is one. The Word of God tells us there are more than one, there is more than one world. Modern science has just begun to understand that there are other planets, and other planets revolving around other stars other than our sun. But the Word of God here tells us the worlds were formed. And it goes on to say, by the Word of God. The Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's not, the phrase here is not referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's referring to the spoken word. Now, this is by faith that God spoke and things came into existence. And it goes on to say that the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means that God did not use existing matter to create everything that we see. God spoke and leapt into existence from nothing, everything. You need faith to believe that. This is the stuff that magic shows are made out of, that kids delight over, adults are amused by. They pull the rabbit out of the hat, out of thin air comes the rabbit, where it's beyond what we can think, and it's amazing to us. But this is what the Word of God says about everything that we see. He spoke, and out of nothing came everything. And he says it's through faith that we believe that. Through faith that we believe it. We'll move on to verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel. And I want to group these next three individuals together. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. These three people. And I want to say a little bit about each one and how faith in their life changed what they did and how they acted. Now look at Abel. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. We remember from Genesis, Abel was the second born. Cain, his brother, was the first born of all creation. The first born man ever to be on this planet has this testimony. He was a murderer. Not a good start for the human race. If you understand anything about the law of first occurrence in God's word, this is not a good start for mankind. The firstborn ever, Cain, was a murderer. And at that, he murdered his brother Abel. Why? It doesn't say in this text exactly, but it does say that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and God recognized that. His brother, we can conject that maybe was jealous. Maybe he was offering a sacrifice of his own works. I will put together some sacrifice of my own hand that I think the Lord will like. We don't know that for sure. There's commentators that would say one way or another. But it does say in this text that by faith Abel offered a sacrifice unto God. It was by faith. And what did this get Abel? Here's the point. What did this get Abel? It was because of Abel's faith, he saw an early death. He died before his time. He was murdered by his own brother. Because of his faith, he was murdered. What does faith do for us? Well, here, for Abel, it got him murdered by his own brother. The second born was killed by the firstborn. Speaking of the second born being spiritual, firstborn being the flesh, that empty, an interesting picture. Killed. That's what faith did for Abel. Got him cut off before his time, murdered by his own brother. Now look at Enoch. Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch has this testimony. Because of his faith, he didn't even see death. There's only one other person in the Word of God who didn't see death. This is one of two. Enoch didn't even see death because of his faith, never saw death. He was taken to be with the Lord. Now look at Noah. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Through faith, it's because of faith in Noah that he was delivered through death. He wasn't delivered, that's why he didn't see death, and he wasn't put to death because of his faith, but he was delivered through death. So what does faith do in our lives? Well, if we go by the Word of God here, in Abel's life, it brought him an early death, murdered by his own brother. In Enoch's life, he didn't even see death. That's what faith did to him. And in Noah, it brought him through the death of the entire world. So I would say faith is not a tool we use to get what we want. But faith is the hope we have to continue in the will of God no matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in. Interesting understanding we get from these three elders from the Word of God that we have before us. Next, we have a changing of thought a little bit. We start to talk about Abraham. And we start to talk about an inheritance that Abraham had, a promise that Abraham had to him. There's two mentions of Abraham. We'll look at this first one. Abraham comes up about faith here in verse 8 through 10. He also comes up in verse 17 through 19, 8 through 10. We see the faith of Abraham, that he was called to go out, leave his family, and go out into a land he didn't know. In the next portion for Abraham, which we won't get to, verse 17, we see Abraham called to sacrifice to God his own son. Two different mentions of Abraham is faith. We'll look at the first one. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, and he went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So God called Abraham. We can look quickly, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. If you turn there, if you would like. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Down to verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shittim, and unto the plain of Mori. And the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said unto thy seed, I will give this land. So there's the promise. The promise is developed as we move along in Genesis, but that's the promise, that Abraham would have a land. His descendants would get the land, the inheritance of that land. That was the promise. That's the promise we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 through 10. That is the promise. Now, it was promised to Abraham and his seed. And his seed. Abraham was promised an earthly blessing to his seed. Abraham will never see the promised land. He will never see the inheritance. Neither will Isaac and Jacob. They will never see it. And this is the faith of Abraham. But yet he went out to a land he didn't know, knowing he would never receive it. That's faith. That's what the Bible calls, in here in Hebrews chapter 11, great faith. Knowing he would never see that land, but it would be far off in the future. Great faith, that's called. Great faith. Once again, we'll read that. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Now get that. Abraham sojourned in that land. He never put up a house. Never had a place to live. Hebrews would tell us he lived in tents because he could move. Never having a plot of land to call home because he knew the promise wasn't to him but to future generations. That is faith. He waited on God to show him in his descendants the promise. He did not go up and buy a plot of land and say, I'm going to build a house. I'm going to start having all these children, and they're going to build houses, and we're going to have a city, and God's promise will be fulfilled. No, he waited on God. He sojourned in that land of promise, not having a home. The only plot of land Abraham ever bought is in Genesis 23, the place to bury his dead family as they would die, beginning with Sarah, his wife. The only place he bought. And if you read the commentators on that, people who are familiar with the customs of the time, Abraham paid an exorbitant price, 10 times what it was worth. But he didn't want money. He wasn't concerned with saving up a bankroll to buy a house or build a city or build a house. Not a concern. I will pay full price to bury my dead, my family, here in this land of promise. And that he did. That is what the Bible calls exceedingly great faith. It would say, to continue, in verse 10, to really help drive this home, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was promised a physical inheritance on earth, but yet here we see him looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He knew he had no place here on earth. He was looking for the city of God. If God called him, he wanted to live with God. Wherever that city was, wherever it was, he wanted it to be with God. And he looked in his sojourning through the promised land for that city that had foundations, which builder and maker is God. It goes on to say in verse 11, talking about Sarah now, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. They had no children up to the time, long into the time of being in the land of promise. 90 years old was Sarah, beyond human reasoning, beyond human expectations to have a child. She may have laughed. Abraham laughed too. We don't know what type of laugh that was. A laugh of half joy and half something else? We don't know. But sometimes I laugh at some of the things, and it's joyful laughter. Do you? We don't know that laugh that she laughed. But here it says of the testimony of Sarah that she was counted faithful by him who promised. In verse 14, it goes on and says, all these died in faith. They all died in faith, never having received the promise. These are the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, the patriarchs of the faith. And here in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging Christians to go on for the Lord. Even though they sit in Jerusalem at this moment, and the Roman army is outside the walls of Jerusalem, they have been there for a while, years, under siege, the city is ready to fall. And he says, here we have no continuing city. Don't put your faith in this temple that you see. We have nothing here on earth. And the encouragement is, look at the patriarchs. They wandered without a city. They wandered knowing that there would be something far in the future as pilgrims and as sojourners. You have the opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to exercise that same faith as the patriarchs, to wander looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We, this morning, have that same privilege to wander as sojourners, looking forward to a heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. We're out of time. We will read a few verses. We get to the end of chapter 11 after going through quite a few more elders, as they would say, in verse 12. The writer of Hebrews says, Wherefore, consider the faith of the patriarchs. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. We talked about a load this morning. Are we loaded down? Lay it aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, is that faith? You don't want to compare the Lord Jesus with these other patriarchs. But here in the Word of God, we end this encouragement with, look what the Lord Jesus did. He laid down his life knowing that the Father would deliver him. What an encouragement we have in our Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much for the encouragement we have in your very holy word, that we can exercise a life of faith, for we know that it is impossible, without faith it is impossible to please God. We pray, our God, you would help us to understand what it is to live pleasing lives to God. We thank thee so much for thy holy word, and especially thy holy Son. We are forever in debt for him, our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.